Okay, let's do Melbourne, Terry.
Okay, another non-competitive season by the Demons. No run and carry in their team. They were the lowest score in the AFL, 1,455 points for the year. They were nearly 1,000 points behind. Well, more, sorry, yeah, nearly double, I should say, because they're about 1,100 points behind the Hawks for the season. That's how far off the mark they were. When we just put it in perspective, they had 54% for the year. That was 28% behind the third lowest side. So they're 28% off where St Kilda were. So that's how dire, just how dire the situation was. And a Paul Roos, it cannot possibly go backwards from where it is at the moment. So what we want to know in 2014 is how much impact can his new team, his new structure make in 12 months' time? And that's what we'll sort of look into over the course of just having a look at the Melbourne Footy Club. I'll get on to their list management and just where their list structure is at the moment. Midfield is was obviously the issue. They set out to bolster their midfield. I still can't understand why they let Ollie Wines go last year. Mm. Just as a big, strong midfielder. I think Jimmy Tumpus will be a really good player for them, and he was a top-ended player, no doubt about that. But Wines was just exactly the type of bloke that they needed. Just
and the type of bloke they've now given up pick two to go and get.
Yeah.
As in a bigger person.
Big, strong bulldozer in the middle of the ground. So that's... It did surprise me, I must say, at the time. But you know, they want to go out and get midfields. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes. Bernie Vince they've brought in. Daniel Cross they've brought in. Dom Tyson. Pick 9, which will be another midfielder. And they're going to move Watts into the midfield. So that experiment will be really interesting.
Do you like that?
How Jack Watts goes. Whether he's got the...
motor?
The push. I think he's got the motor from what I understand. Whether he's got the oomph to be able to go in there and actually push himself, that'll be something that Paul Roos will be really working on with him. So, yes, they've bolstered it up. We'll speak about more whether that's the right moves, wrong moves with some of those blokes as we go along. Their rucks worry me. I must say, I think Mark Jamar's career is just about over.
Yep.
Hope Ruzzi can turn something around. He'll be 30 going into next year.
He's done nothing for a long time now.
Two or three seasons, he really hasn't. And as much as what they, the Melbourne Footy Club, really like Jack Fitzpatrick, who's shown some signs, Max Gawn and Jake Spencer, I don't see any of those three boys right at the moment being a number one ruckman for a footy club. They're all nice, developing young rucks, but, geez, they really do need J-Mar to be able to stand up so that they can develop as the secondary guys. And probably Fitzpatrick was the one who showed the most later in the year. But I just don't...
They like him down there too.
Yeah, they like their whole ruck strength. I don't necessarily like their ruck strength, and I think they'll give advantage in that area unless J-Mar can stand up, which I don't think he will.
He will.
I think the young guys will go past him, but whether they can compete with the best in the game, that's questionable in my opinion. Have a look at their balance, their key position. It's pretty good. I mean, you go to their back line, James Frawley, Tom McDonald, Colin Garland as the mid defender, the third man in type. That sits really nicely. I think they've got some nice run. I'm pleased that they've actually settled Lyndon Dunn into a role at cross half back. And he's a nice kick of the footy. He's done a pretty good job there. Jack Grimes, I think, is a far, far better halfback flanker. And there's nothing wrong with being a halfback flanker than what there is a midfielder. And I think he's just the ability to read the game off halfback is his role in this in this footy club. Not sure that they've got a lockdown defender. I thought Dean Turlick did a terrific job offensively this year, but he leaks goals going back the other way. Okay. I mean, he's a bull at a gate, attack the ball, take the game on. Supporters love him because he puts his heart and soul into his efforts.
Hard body.
But he can be hurt out the back.
One.
He
can
be hurt out the back at times. So they probably need that type of player to sort of really to lock into that area. If they can get the forwards onto the ground, it does look really well structured. Mitch Clark, Chris Dawes, and Mitch Clark could end up being the ruckman still. I mean, he's the one at 200 centimetres. They've got enough forward power with Dawes and Hogan. I'm really looking forward to sort of seeing Hogan play. Seen him quite a few times at VFL level. For a kid of that age, he's only just turned 18 at the start of next year. 17-year-old to win a best and fairest at VFL level against men is a terrific performance this year. But Clark, Dawes and Hogan gives him some good structure there. I hope Clark's body can hold up.
Yep.
Jeremy Howe as the mid-range forward.
Where would you play him, Terry? A lot of conjecture as to where he best fits.
I'm high half forward. I think that that's the best role for him. You know, where
not closer to goal.
No, not close at all. Well, they don't need him. They've got the power forwards there with Hogan, Dawes and Clark. So I think that that role where he can get up the ground and be involved, let's put it in Paul Roos speak. I mean, he becomes Ryan O'Keefe.
Okay.
So can get around the stoppages, work around the stoppages. O'Keefe's now become a midfielder. But if we go back 3 or 4 years ago in their premiership years, up and around the stoppages.
Good overhead, obviously, in Howe's case.
And push back. And work back hard, be able to catch it over your head. So that's the sort of role I see. I don't like their small forwards.
Okay.
Neville Jetta hasn't been able to really show anything. Shannon Burns into the football club for a couple of years. I think that they are really lacking a sharp quality forward line player. So I'm hoping that they might be able to target a small defensive-minded sharp forward over this period. You've got too many players for me that really haven't got a role.
Yep.
You know, Bale, Strauss, these guys have been around a while. Cam Pedersen that they got. Taggart, Don Barry's just come into the club. But there's a few guys that you really have a look at the moment that you can't sit there and go, we're picking a side for next week. That bloke plays on a wing, or that bloke definitely plays half-back flank. So they've got a few guys that they've got to sort out. Roosie will sort that out.
Yep.
They'll either be VFL players and not really a part of the picture.
Or he'll work with them.
Or he'll work with them and sort out where they need to play. So at the moment, retirees, McDonald, Roden, Davey, free agency of Colin Sylvia out the door, delistings of Seller, Gilly, Stein and Davis. They've got enough scope and room. They've had about 8 go out, Tyson, Vince and Cross coming into the footy club at the moment. So that's about where it's balanced at the minute.
Okay, this is the last time you need to answer these questions, Terry, on Trade Radio 2013. Now, the four questions we ask at the end of your assessment. The Demons, where are they at?
Well, very, very simply, cutting to the chase, they need to show some positivity and improvement. It's another new dawn, but it needs to be a new dawn this time around with the coach, a changing of the list and some of the decisions that they've made.
Issues and what they need?
They lack star factor at the club, but if I'm a supporter, I'm going along to watch Clark and Dawes working together and hopefully that we can get them into the side without injury. I'm certainly going along to watch Hogan, Viney, Tumpus, Tyson, whoever pick 9 is, and the new role of Jack Watts through the middle of the ground. That's enough for me to click over the turnstiles and actually go through to watch this footy team. So that's from a positive point of view. Needs, the midfield was the issue. It still is. They've added something to it, but they still need to add to that middle of the ground, which they will do with that pick 9 come the national draft. I still think there's a sharp forward, and I'm concerned about their rucks. I don't think they're concerned about their rucks, but I still got a little bit of a question over their rucks.
I'm interested in this one, the losses against the gains.
Well, 8 players out already. But I really don't think they've lost anything with those 8. Colin Sylvia, I think he'll be a really good player for Fremantle, but he's not a loss for Melbourne, where Melbourne are at the moment. The Inns haven't excited the life out of me, except for Jesse Hogan. I mean, he's absolutely exciting. I just want to go through the scenario that you spoke about when we talk about the Dom Tyson situation.
Yep.
Pick 9 and Tyson for pick 2. I've got no issue with at all. Absolutely no issue. I know some people have, but why pick 22 as well? I can't get my head around why they needed to bite off the second round selection as well. And then I still can't get my head around, they got a compensation pick of 23 for Colin Sylvia. It went out the door in a flash to bring Bernie Vince, who is 28 at the start of next year. I just don't get that. I mean, I think Bernie Vince was a really good player 3 or 4 years ago. I think all we'll see him do is fade his career out. And I hope I'm wrong. And I'd be the first to walk up to Bernie Vince and sort of say, well done, mate, you, and to the Melbourne Footy Club. Well done, mate, you proved me wrong. I don't get the selection. if I'm sitting there and if Tyson and Nine had come in for pick two and Melbourne Footy Club still had Tyson in the door, pick nine, pick 22 and pick 23,
yep.
I reckon they were in great shape and had done a fantastic job. But the fact that they bid off the 22 in that deal with Greater Western Sydney was too much in my mind. And the fact that they then went and give away pick 23, now they don't come back into the draft until pick 40. For a club that still needs to realign itself with some young talent, I don't think that they got that right.
Right. So does that actually undo what you like about that initial part of the transaction?
I'm still going to watch them with Hogan, Viney, Tumpas, Tyson, pick nine in the place. I still think they bit off too much in the deal.
Yep.
And well done Greater Western Sydney, because I think Greater Western Sydney probably would have done the deal with the nine and Tyson for the pick two. Because the pick two is an absolutely valuable commodity. But to me, they beat off too much.
Okay, make hold lose ground coming off the low base.
Well, it's impossible to lose ground.
Well,
it's almost impossible for the Melbourne Football Club to hold ground.
Right.
It was that poor.
Yeah.
It is almost impossible for them to hold ground.
Okay.
So, therefore, there's only one category. They will make ground.
This is Melbourne Football Club we're talking about, Terry.
They will make ground. They'll make ground this year. How much is the question? How much ground do they actually make? They've got an easy draw. They've got to aim to do what the Bulldogs did in 2013.
Yep.
Six to eight wins is got to be around the mark.
Six to eight, you're saying, to Melbourne?
Six to eight victories the Melbourne Football Club have got to aim to win this year.
Gee, I reckon that's a bit above what they could do, Terry. But you're the list analyst, and that's why we get you to do this and not me.
Well, centre forward, they haven't had any of those blokes on the park, really. I mean, they've had no continuity with Clark, with Dawes, with Hogan. They haven't had any continuity with those boys at all. If they can actually start to get this midfield working with some sort of form, they can't go any worse than where they've been.
Sure.
They really cannot go any worse. They play GWS. They'll probably play GWS twice. They'll probably play St Kilda twice. I think that they've brought in as much as what St Kilda have brought into their footy club. If the Paul Roos factor is working at all, they have to show some form of improvement. And, I said 6-8 because that's what the Bulldogs did. I mean, the Bulldogs got to 8 victories this year. I didn't see the 8 victories coming for the Western Bulldogs at the start of the year. I don't think any of us almost saw it halfway through the year.
You couldn't see it halfway through the year.
Yep. So 6 is probably the more obvious selection for Melbourne, but they've got to make ground. Surely this group of blokes with another resurrection have got to show something.
There you go. We've still got Andrew McKay from the Carlton Footy Club to come on Trade Radio. He's going to do that very shortly. Jason McCartney from Brisbane Lions will also come on. And Brisbane Lions have been tweeting that the Doherty deal has been done, as we've said, and they've indicated in a tweet in the past few moments that there could well be another trade on the way before the close of play today. And we know the players who are looking for new homes from the Brisbane Lions perspective, Terry. So
no joy for Brisbane. Pick 33. That's no joy at all. I mean, this is a kid who's been 12 months in the system and was picked 12. That's absolutely no joy whatsoever.
Right.
You're not rejoicing. Well, you shouldn't be rejoicing if you're a Brisbane person.
Well, that's the scenario they're in, and they're still trying to find homes by way of exchanges for four other players. And as we know, there's 21 and a half hours remaining of the trade period for 2013, and they don't have answers yet. They're indicating on Twitter they could get another one dropped soon today. We'll bring you that, of course, if it does happen before 5 o'clock and after this break on Gillette Trade Radio, proudly brought to you by Gillette, the official partner of Movember, and supporting Mobros to trim, groom and keep it neat this Movember. Up next will be Andrew McKay from Carlton.